Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can always get a daily dose of great information about your favorite NBA and NFL teams, including the Pacers. Right here. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and on the episode today, we will hit on the Pacers prepping for the Sixers on Friday night in Philly after beating them in overtime on Wednesday night at the Fieldhouse. We'll also ponder whether it's too early to panic after a rough start has exposed some issues on the Pacers roster. We talk about giving you a daily dose of information, and really that's the goal of this podcast, trying to give you the latest info on what's going on with the Pacers Monday through Friday. Podcast usually is available by 6 a.m. each morning, and we're trying to bring you the latest info. So we always want to hear feedback, and please hit me up at IndyCornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at IndyCornrows, and I appreciate all of the people checking in. I wanted to highlight an email received from Peter Mosey, who wanted to express his concerns with the Pacers this early in the season, and there were some things that he wasn't concerned with that had to do with, you know, some of the turnovers, ball movement, execution, feeling that the team would improve over time as they got used to each other. But his concerns were with the lack of competitiveness on the defensive end and signs that maybe there isn't great leadership in place. And that seems to be something that could definitely be an issue, Peter. I appreciate checking in on that. And obviously, we're going to talk about that a little bit more later in the show with a couple of one article in the podcast, the Dunked On podcast, which talked about how early is too early to panic for some teams, and where are the Pacers on the old panic meter. So before we get into that, though, let's check in with what is going on at the Fieldhouse today. The Pacers practiced this afternoon before heading to Philly for their game on Friday, and all the focus now shifts toward trying to get over the hump and win that first road game. It doesn't matter that it's Philly. It doesn't matter who they're playing at this point. They just need to bring home a W. And Nate McMillan spoke after practice about playing the Sixers again. You know, mentioned that he knows they're going to be scrapping for 48 minutes and expects the same type of effort they showed at the Fieldhouse on Wednesday, and feels like the Pacers have to be sharper defensively and cover up the three-point line better, and spoke about the, you know, sense of urgency that towards the end of the game that brought out a better defensive effort, and obviously he would like to see that type of urgency throughout the game as opposed to just when it's desperately needed at the end. And really about getting a road win, mentioned that they just need to get off to a good start to help get in position to win on the road, and that's going to require being solid at the defensive end. So we'll see if the Pacers can pick up where they left off against Philly and get that W. Miles Turner also spoke a bit after practice and, you know, talked about that defense at the end of the game as well. That seemed to be the topic of the day, is after showing those capabilities on the offensive end. Can they carry that forward? And Turner was impressed with how everything all of a sudden just clicked and they were locked in, and really hoping that they can build off of that and carry it forward. Also said he's looking forward to the matchup with Joel Embiid, who did not play on Wednesday, was left at home in Philly to rest, but also talked about Jahlil Okafor and how those two have been number one and two player in the country since they were back in their high school years, and they faced each other a lot, but hadn't faced each other since high school until they reached the pros. So he said he always enjoys matching up with Jahlil, and hopefully this time around he fares a little better against him. It was kind of a maybe I'd give the points to Okafor as far as having the edge, although he didn't play as much, and Turner ended up getting the win. So I guess both guys have something to hang their hat on after that first matchup, but hopefully Turner will get the better of him if they're matched up again, depending upon how Embiid is used. Now, Embiid has been playing on minutes restrictions, so I'm sure that won't change, so he's not going to play heavy starters minutes, even if he's starting. Now, Paul George also spoke, and again, hoping they can replicate the defense that they played at the end of the game, and really thought it shouldn't be that hard to play like they did late in the game. Just have to get the same effort. And looking back at the road losses earlier in the year, he just felt like the team wasn't ready for the fight, and said that, you know, it's surprising because they're all basketball players and they're pros and this is really their job, so they got to come ready to play. But he also talked about playing with past vets, you know, David West, Roy Hibbert, George Hill, and how he learned from them that you got to come every day ready to play no matter how you're feeling. Now, I would argue some of those guys didn't always show up as well at times, but the message is clear that regardless of how you're playing, you got to show up and give your best. Okay, before we move on, I want to thank the Locked On Podcast Network, as always, for their great support, and make sure you are checking out Locked On NBA, which has a new episode up now, as well as Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Always great information for your fantasy basketball needs. And, of course, check out Locked On 76ers before the game for the latest from Philly on Joel Embiid and everybody else with the Sixers before they play the Pacers. I also want to point you to a couple of articles. I know Caitlin Cooper on IndyCornrows.com took some time to dig into Al Jefferson showing some signs of life in the past couple of games, and it appears that he is settling into his role and also being utilized a little bit better as the team gets used to playing in their rotation and getting everybody on the same page. So that was a good sign. He was definitely a big part of the Pacers' win, helping maintain things in the middle while Turner was dealing with some foul issues and was able to combine with young Miles for a nice effort from the center position. And also want to point you to an article from Bob Kravitz of WTHR.com, Channel 13 in Indy. And he was at the game on Wednesday and came looking for answers to some of the problems and trying to propose some potential solutions, as obviously the Pacers were off to a rocky start, and I know he was wondering about the defense and Jeff Teague. Why is Jeff Teague off to a bad start? Now, I'm sure his storyline took a little bit of a hit because Teague had his best game of the year, not only scoring 30 points with 9 assists, but also closing out the game and helping the Pacers salvage the W with his 9 points late in the game to get the team back into the game and tie it up and get into overtime. But Kravis is focusing on what the team needs to do and feels like it's not too early to panic and make a move and do something, because there's an obvious issue that is sitting there with Monte Ellis in the starting lineup. Monte is not getting a lot of shots, not taking a lot of shots. He's not really playing a role that you would consider Monte Ellis to play if you look back over his career, and really the Pacers would be in better shape if they had a bigger defensive-minded shooting guard to fill in that spot. That doesn't necessarily mean C.J. Miles, but that type of a player that they might be able to deal to fill that spot. And that's what Kravitz was trying to push, was that, you know, Larry Bird's got to do something because the team as it is isn't going to be good enough. And obviously it's a little early to make that declaration and put it in stone. But I also think that, you know, the Monte Ellis issue has been something that has been kind of a sore spot all summer. Heading into the season, I really feel like the Pacers probably tried to move Monte this summer. He was one guy that was never mentioned during the offseason when the team talked about different players and doing different things. And I always got the idea that there's something brewing with Monte, but he was never moved. Now, consider the fact he's got $11 million salary, and you're going to have to find a team that's willing to part with a player that makes that salary work and is also fitting this need for a shooting guard. So are they going to trade shooting guard for shooting guard? Are they going to have a guy that fills that salary role to make the trade work? It's not as easy as just saying, oh, we got to deal with Monte for this type of player. The other need that Kravitz hit on was the lack of a reserve rim protector to back up Miles Turner. And that is also a known need. I think the Pacers definitely would have brought in somebody with those characteristics if they had one available and could have made a deal this summer. Again, those are valuable types of players, and making a deal for them is a lot easier said than done. But I also think that it might be a little early to be pressing that panic button that Bob seems ready to do. And I can guarantee you they're going to be looking to make some moves, even if they start playing better. I think the mismatch parts on the team, when you consider Rodney Stuckey's not in there either, when you're going to have Stuckey and Ellis and C.J. Miles and Aaron Brooks, those parts are ripe for some kind of a deal. And I'm sure at some point something will be done. But 2 weeks into the season might be a little difficult, because the other thing that happens at this point, let's say you do make a deal, and really you got to look to December 15th as more of a time when trades may start to happen, which is when guys who sign free agent deals over the summer can be dealt. But regardless, even at that point, that's only another 4 weeks. So it's the impact on the roster, someone coming in, someone moving, as they're already having trouble getting on the same page, you're almost resetting back to the beginning if you're bringing in a guy you think would be a new starter. So at that point, C.J. Miles would definitely probably have to fill in as a starter. And again, I go back to the fact that C.J. is playing fantastic. Why do you want to change his role now? Why do you want to move him out of that spot where he's performing so well and complimenting Paul George as a wing scorer who can play with him but also play when PG is on the bench and keep the team with a good scorer on the floor? So, you know, sometimes you got to be careful what you wish for in these instances, and it may be better in the long term, but might not be so good in the short term. But definitely check out WTHR.com. Let Kravitz explain it for himself and read it. Check it out. Very thought-provoking hoops talk from Bob. Always appreciate that. So also want to, talking about panic moves, the Dunked On podcast with host Nate Duncan, and along with, in this one, Danny LaRoe, they went through several teams that felt were underperforming and talked about where those teams might fit on a panic meter that was like 1 to 10. So Pacers earned their way in their conversation, especially with their poor road play and defensive woes and not living up to the early expectations. So the show was recorded on Wednesday before the Pacers beat the Sixers, but I'm sure they kind of assume that may happen. But it was also before Jeff Teague had a big game, and you know, he's part of that panic conversation, but it still is a good check-in with some independent voices that follow all of the NBA teams, and it was interesting to hear what they had to say because of the fact that they still felt like they were a playoff contender in the East, just not as highly rated as some people had them. So here's what they had to say about the Pacers.
Another team that you and I both weren't in love with at the beginning of the season, the Indiana Pacers.
Let's start by thinking of what the expectations were for this team and its fan base. I think that's a good way to calibrate this for how high the panic meter really should be for them.
So, I mean, I would say on average, some people said, you know, it would be great if they finished in the top, like what they hosted a playoff series, but they at least make the playoffs, but let's say 4-6. Do you think that would be fair?
Yeah, I think anything below the fifth or sixth seed would be a pretty big disappointment. And while they don't have an awful record right now at 3-4, they do have a negative 5.5 net rating, and the defense third worst in the league, 109.3 points per 100 possessions right now. And what's concerning about this for me is that they are failing in the same ways that we thought before the season they might fail. And that's always concerning, right? If you think, okay, these guys are pretty good, they're going to have a good defense, and they're not that playing that well so far, you expect maybe that they'll get back to your preseason expectation. But we all thought that the defense could be a lot worse. We didn't think it would be this bad, though. And they have just, their transition defense has been horrendous. I mean, they're getting lit up by teams like the Nets, the Bulls, who have looked decent on offense at times, the Bucks. Their defense was atrocious in that game. The Bucks are not an offensive powerhouse, so they haven't even really played any of these awesome offenses yet. Charlotte, a team that doesn't have a crap load of offensive talent, lit them up too. And we had talked about how the pillars of this franchise defensively last year were Jan Mahimi, George Hill, Frank Vogel, and Paul George, and only one of them is left now, and they're starting Teague and Monte Ellis. Maybe you would say, especially because Ellis hasn't been that great so far, if this continues, they'll look at moving him out of the starting lineup and getting CJ Miles in just to get a little more size and defense on the floor. Miles Turner has had some high block games, but also has not been able to really master the nuances. Their communication has been awful. Their effort has been awful. Nate McMillan, not known as a defensive coach in his previous stops. All of that makes me think that this is pretty real. And yeah, 3-4, it's not too late for them to fix it, but playing into the same concerns I had before the start of the season, not good.
We've talked about the defense, and that is certainly the reason to be concerned, because we didn't expect it to be good in the first place. But the trade-off there, the intention at least, was that their offense would hum and that their offense would sing, because they have all these creators, all these guys that, you know, specifically create for themselves, whether that be Jeff Teague, Monte Ellis, Thad Young, Paul George, you know, all these guys. And when I've watched them, what I've noticed is not only if you want to go the statistical route with their offensive rating, but they just look disjointed on that end. You know, this isn't a team that is getting a ton of easy buckets, even when things are going their way defensively.
Yeah, they're only mid-pack right now, a little bit below the league median in offensive rating, 103.8. And so they have been able to get a little more offense, which you'd expect with a shooting center like Turner. Paul George has not been able to dominate at the start of the season the way he has in previous years, and hasn't been as much of a focal point, I don't think. Jeff Teague has been awful. We're going to get to him in the players section. So I think this trade-off that they've made to try to get more offense, all right, maybe the defense was going to get a little worse. I think they were hoping, you know, they could get into being a top 10 offense and hope that their defense could get to be in the lower end of the top 10, and they're just not even close to that. And this thought that, oh well, don't worry, like Dan Burke is still there, it's his system. Well, apparently, like, the culture that Frank Vogel had instituted was pretty important there. So I'm going to go with an 8 for these guys. I am definitely concerned about them and their defense.
I'm going to go with a 6 just on the idea that CJ Miles could help them. And I think Turner and George can play. As much as they haven't been the problem, they can play better than they have. And so I think that there's a reason that they could turn it around at least partially. Also, the Pacers have enough talent where they can kind of just pull out some games, just grit them out, get a little bit lucky and things like that, maybe more than the Knicks at this point. So I think they have a greater chance of a mild disappointment, you know, maybe getting the 7 or 8 or something like that than maybe the Knicks. So I'm going to have them at a 6 for right now, with the open mind to revise that higher in the very near future.
Yes. Do you think they'll make the playoffs still?
I think they have a good shot at it. I mean, because none of those teams at the fringe of the East have really impressed me enough to say, oh, they're in real trouble there. Because that early on in the year, I'm thinking about, like, let's say the parallel being that year where Oklahoma City and New Orleans were gunning in the West, where it's like, oh, it's going to take 45 wins. I don't think it's going to take 45 wins to make the playoffs in the East this year.
So obviously that was recorded before the Pacers beat the Sixers, as I mentioned before, and obviously they probably didn't assume Jeff Teague would have such a big night. But regardless, what do you think about what they had to say? Are you ready to panic? And what does panic mean to you? You know, is that lineup change? Is that starting lineup change? Reserve roster or rotation change? Is it a trade? You know, let me know what you think. And, you know, thanks for listening. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Hit me up at email indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter @indycornrows. And don't forget, you can find all the podcasts on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where you can listen to all past episodes as well. So check them out. Okay, that's a wrap for today. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.